Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, live from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome to What Does the Word Say, a production of DMC Ministries. We teach you how to be authentic in your faith, genuine in your service, and humble in your blessings. We want you to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like. We help you make the Word of God real. Be sure to check out our website at www.dmcministries.net to take advantage of the resources we have available. Books, CDs, DVDs, podcasts, and more are there just for you. Links to this and previous shows are one click away, and you can read every edition of our newsletter, The Progressive Walk. Ever wonder what it means to be dynamic, motivated, and Christ-like? Well, that and much, much more are available on our site. If we can be of service to you, please email us at dmc@dmcministries.net or call us at 804-909-7339. Today we're going to continue our study in the book of John, and I'm excited about what the Lord is going to reveal to us. If you'd like to be part of the conversation this morning, call us at 347-857-1322 or log on to blogtalkradio.com/DMC2 and you can listen or chat with us online. My co-host this week, Pastor Godfrey Kasiri, is not going to be with us, so it's going to be just you and me, and so let's get started in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity again, Lord, to gather in your presence, to study, to show ourselves approved, workmen unashamed of rightly dividing the word of truth. Father, we believe that the word of God is seed that is sown into good ground, and it will return a harvest, a 30, a 60, 100, even a 1,000-fold return in this lifetime. And Father, we just thank you for your leading of the Holy Spirit, who leads us into and guides us into all truth, and shows us things to come, and we'll just give you the honor, the glory, and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, welcome to us this morning. We're looking forward to continuing our study in the Word of John. But a little housekeeping note first. On our last episode, I made a statement that John was the brother of Jesus, and I received an email, and I'm going to read that to you. It says, I'm so encouraged by the Tuesday morning Blog Talk Radio show. Thank you for hosting. I do have a statement for our viewers. Regarding a statement you made concerning John, the writer of the book of John, and his relationship with Jesus as his brother. Further research indicates that John was not Jesus' brother. Matthew 13:55 in the Amplified Version shares, Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his brothers James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Well, there you go, folks. I cannot argue with the word. And if I'm wrong, I admit I'm wrong, and I ask you to forgive me. So thank you for the person who sent this this email to me. We certainly do appreciate that, because that's our job here, is to figure out what does the word say. Hallelujah. So it's just like God to take something that's meant for our destruction and turn it around for our benefit. So we're just excited about that. We really do appreciate all the phone calls and the emails that we get concerning this show. It really is truly a blessing. All right, let's continue. I believe last time we got together, we ended up in verse 9. But I want to go back and just kind of do a real quick recap. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we made a note that that was Jesus, so we know that. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, we did our comparison to Genesis to prove that the light and the dark that's first talked about there is not daylight and night. It's not that. It's the light and the dark that we're talking about here, and that's basically good and evil. And so we understand that the light shines in the darkness, and folks, we are the light. We are the light of the world. Because we're saved, born again, and filled with the Spirit of God. And that Spirit that lives on the inside of us is what shines through in everything that we do, everything that we say, our thought process, our demeanor, our attitudes, our information that we receive, and how we filter that all through goes through the Holy Spirit, and that's what shines out in the darkness, and the world, they just don't quite understand it. Verse 6 says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. And this man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. So here we're talking about John the Baptist, and we know that that he was Elizabeth's son, was born 6 months before Jesus was, and that the two of them had already met in the spirit realm while both of them were in the womb. So praise God of that. You can go back to Matthew and look at that. There was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Now, that's a very important scripture right there. That's verse 9, and I want you to underline it, highlight it, and make sure that you get this. John is talking about, he says, it was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light, and that was the true light, and that's capital L, so we know we're talking about Jesus. That was the true light which gives light to every man coming into the world. Now, that's very interesting there, because if you look over in the Amplified Bible, it says, there it was, the true light was then coming into the world, the genuine, perfect, steadfast light that illuminates every person. I hope you understand where I'm going with that, because there's a word there called every that kind of takes away people's excuses for not knowing anything about God. Hallelujah. In the Message Bible, it says, the life light was the real thing. Every person entering life, he brings into light because he was in the world, that the world was there, which through him, and yet the world did. Well, we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. Let me go back to that. The life light was the real thing. So we ain't talking about something that's fake here. We're talking about the real deal. And it says, every person entering life, he brings into light, L-I-G-H-T. So you know, other places in the scripture, it talks about the fact that when we stand before God, we'll have no excuse for saying that we didn't know him or didn't understand him, because there it is right there. Every person that is born into this world has exposure to the light. Now, whether or not they make a decision or not to follow that light, that's a whole other different set of circumstances we'll talk about a little bit later. All right, verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him. Now, we know that from back up in the first part of this chapter, that everything that was made by Jesus, okay, through the Holy Spirit. And he says, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, which was the Jews, and his own did not receive him, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, folks, I want you to get that. That is very, very important. In the Amplified Version, it says, he came into the world, and through the world was, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him, did not know him. He came to that which belonged to him, to his own, his domain, creation, things, world, and they who were his own did not receive him and did not welcome him. Glory be to God. And in verse 12, this is where it gets really, really interesting. He says, but to as many as did receive and welcome him. I got a question for you. Have you received him? Have you welcomed him into your life? Glory be to God. If you have, then you have the authority, and that's defined as the privilege, the power, and the right to become the children of God. Oh, my goodness. That is to those who believe in, adhere to, and trust in, and rely on. Now, see, so believing is a little bit more than just saying, oh, yeah, well, I believe that's true. There's a little bit of action there that has to be taken care of. And right there, he's saying the power, the privilege, and the right to become the children of God, that is to those who believe in, and which is adhere to, trust in, and rely on his name, who owe their birth neither to the bloods nor to the will of the flesh, that of physical impulse, nor to the will of man, that of a natural father, but to God. They are born of God. Now, let's have a little bit of a conversation here. We're talking about the fact that, you know, that it really doesn't matter who your father or mother is. It really doesn't matter how you came into this world. Doesn't matter what circumstances were involved in that. You were ordained by God. And I will never forget riding up the interstate one day when my daughter called, and she was just, you know, chatting, whatever, you know, she was talking about. And then she said, well, there's something I need to tell you, but I can't remember what it is. And I said, well, you're either getting married or you're pregnant. I don't know where that came from. Well, I do know where it came from, but that was just kind of very, very wild. She said, well, hold on just a minute. And when she came back, she said, well, the answer to number one is someday, and the answer to number two is yes, I'm pregnant. And so there was a little bit of a pause on the telephone there, and she came back, she says, well, are you mad? And I'm going, no, I'm not mad, because I understand something about John chapter 1. It says, it doesn't matter who the father is, you couldn't have had that kid unless God said it was the time for that child to come into this earth. And so, do I like the way that you decided to do it? No, I'm not happy about that. But nevertheless, this is a God-ordained thing, and it could only happen because God said yes. So glory be to God. So we need to love children. We need to nurture children. We need to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We need to protect them. We need to guide them. We need to direct them, because they are blessings from God. And not only blessings to the world, but folks, they're blessings to us. My grandson, Malachi, oh my goodness, what a blessing. That child is absolutely awesome. I just love him. And I just am so excited about being able to pour the word of God into his life, because that seed, again, that's sown into good ground, and I know there's going to be a harvest. Glory be to God. All right, let's continue with verse 19, and we're reading out of the New King James Version. It says, now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? So we know that people are going to ask you who you are. What do you stand for? What do you mean? What do you believe? Why do you believe what you believe? And he confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Hallelujah. And they asked him, well, then, are you Elijah? And he said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he said, no. And they said to him, well, who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? And here's what he said. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. As the prophet Isaiah said, now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, well, why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? So again, John's light is shining in the darkness, but the darkness is not comprehending it. They are just not quite getting it. And the beauty of this is John knew exactly what his assignment was. And he did not waver, he did not falter, he did not go to the left or to the right. He continued on that assignment until his death. And that is exactly what we're supposed to do. We need to find out what our assignment is, and we can use this as an example. Are there going to be tribulations? Yeah, the Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers us out of them all. And in this world we'll have tribulations, but we fear not the world, for he's overcome the world and put all things under his feet. So we've already found out that we're children of God. We're joint heirs with Jesus. So if everything is under his feet, then all of this stuff in the world has to be under our feet. And what we have to do is we have to make a decision in our life that we're going to follow the path that God has given us. We understand what our focus is, what our mission is, and that's what we're going to do. And it doesn't matter how many questions they ask. Our answers are going to line up with the Word, because the Bible says that His Word, talking about the Bible, goes out and accomplishes that which it is meant to accomplish and does not return unto Him void. Well, if that's true, which I tend to believe that it is, then if our words are His words, then our words are going to go out and accomplish what they're meant to accomplish and not return unto us void. And that's exciting. I'm telling you, the closer you get to God, the more that you get involved with Jesus, the more that you learn the personality and the traits of the Holy Spirit, and the more word that you pour on the inside of you, glory be to God, you are just going to become a very powerful force that has to be reckoned with in this world. Hallelujah. So, they said they were sent from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, "Why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" And John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, I think that's what it's called, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing." So he's talking about the fact, he says, look, I'm not the one, but the one is coming. In fact, he's already here, glory be to God. And so in our message, when people talk to us about, you know, can you baptize me? Well, yeah, I can baptize you in water, and that's an outward sign of what's gone on the inside of you, but the true baptism comes from Jesus. That comes from God. And that's where you have to make a decision and go down that Roman road, if you will, you know, whether do you believe that if you were to die today that you'd spend eternity in heaven? Well, if you do, then that means, do you believe in God? Yes. Do you believe that Jesus came and died on the cross for your sins? Well, yeah. Well, then all you have to do is ask him to be the Lord of your life, and it's done. It is finished. You are saved, born again, filled with the Spirit of God, and that is the baptism right there into the body of Christ. Now, we're not talking about fellowship and discipleship. We'll get into that a little bit later, but this is just merely the beginning. Now, in verse 29, the word says, "The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world.'" Now, you have to understand, John had never seen Jesus. He did not know who he was, but John had an angel come and tell him that, look, when you see him, you'll see the dove descending out of heaven onto him, then you'll know that that's who he is. And so here he comes, walking down the road. He said, "This is the one whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water.' And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have sent and testified that this is the Son of God.'" Glory be to God. Now, folks, this is exciting. And this is where people have a real hard time at times figuring out, how can you believe something that you haven't seen? Well, this word right here, John is bearing witness. Now, we've already discussed this earlier, that a witness is a testimony. And a testimony is of evidence. And if you have ever had the opportunity or the misfortune to have to go to court, you understand that in court you cannot be found guilty except by a preponderance of the evidence. And the evidence comes in the form of testimony. And so this is John's testimony. This is a man who had a visitation from Gabriel, the angel, had a visitation from him and told him that this is what you're going to do. And so he has been obedient to do exactly what he was told to do, the way that he was told to do it. And now he's had the opportunity to witness Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of God, in the flesh. And John, the Apostle John, who's writing this manuscript, is saying, look, this is my testimony. This is the evidence that you need to believe. Oh, glory be to God. And so this is written, factual evidence. The Bible says that that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. Well, if that's true, which, again, I tend to believe that it is, then I don't need any other empirical data. I don't need any other scientific facts. I don't need any other evidence other than what this word says, because it comes straight from God. And when you get to the point where you believe that and you're convinced of that, you'll be like Paul, who says, look, I am fully persuaded that neither death nor life nor demons nor principalities nor circumstances nor situations nor poverty nor wealth, none of that stuff can keep you from accomplishing what God has called you to do. Glory be to God. And so we need to really come to a point in our lives where we have made a decision that the Word of God is true. Once we've done that, then and only then can we really begin to move forward and explore and do the things that God wants us to do. Now, I want to read verse 29 in the Amplified Bible. The Amplified says, the next day, John saw Jesus coming to him and said, look, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who has priority over me, who takes rank above me, because he was before me and existed before I did. And I did not know him and did not recognize him myself, but it is in order that he should be made manifest and be revealed to Israel, be brought out where we can see him, that I came baptizing in with water. John gave further evidence, saying, I have seen the Spirit descending as a dove out of heaven, and it dwelt on him, never to depart. And I did not know him nor recognize him, but he who sent me to baptize in with water said to me, upon him whom you shall see the Spirit descending and remain, that one is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen that happen. I actually did see it. And my testimony is that this is the Son of God. Glory be to God. And he looked at Jesus as he walked along and said, look, there is the Son of God, or is the Lamb of God. And glory be to God. That was just an absolutely awesome thing. So, folks, you know, if you ever get an opportunity to be in a conversation with a scientist, it's very interesting, because they will quickly point to millions of different articles that somebody else has written, which is really just their opinion about how this is not true. But I'm telling you, I have seen this myself, and I have read this and studied this, and I believe this with everything that I am, that Jesus has a plan for your life. God has ordained you to be here for such a time as this. This is your time. This is not anybody else's time. This is your time. Because if it wasn't, why would you be here now? How come you weren't born in 346 B.C. or 1288 A.D.? I mean, why weren't you in Jerusalem when all of this stuff was going on? It doesn't make any sense why this could not be true, to be honest with you. I know it's not good grammar to do that way with a negative, but it's true. This cannot not be true. It's just too real. It's too personal. And so as you study and meditate on the Word, and you worship God and praise and worship, and you continue to follow the path that He has for you, glory be to God, you are going to be blessed beyond compare. Is it tough? Yeah, it's tough. There's a lot of stuff going on that doesn't want you to be successful. But I'm telling you that if you persevere and persist, God will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll guide you and protect you. Glory be to God. All right, let's talk about the first disciples here. We'll finish this chapter up today, and then we'll come back to chapter 2 next time. The next day, John stood with two of his disciples, and looking at Jesus, as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned, and seeing them following, said to them, "What do you seek?" And they said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, when translated, "teacher, where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, "You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas," which is translated a stone. Glory be to God. The following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee, and he found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was with from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Where do you live? They'll probably ask that same question. Can anything come out of good where you came from? Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Glory be to God. And Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter you shall see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." Glory be to God. So this is exciting stuff, folks, and you're going to have an opportunity in your life to either believe or not believe. And if you choose not to believe, well, then you're going to be left out. But it's still not going to change the fact that the Word of God is true. And that's one of the biggest things I find with people is they want to question whether or not the Word of God is true. Well, it is true, because if it wasn't true, why would he say it? The Bible is still the best-selling book in the world, sold more copies and more different translations and versions than any other book in history, and the content always remains the same. The results are the same, but we cannot get this in our head. We've got to get our head screwed around straight and really start to begin to believe this word. And when you start studying the word with the intent to believe, now there's a legal term for you, the intent to believe, then things are going to happen that are going to be a blessing to you. But anytime that you want to have doubt, I mean, you can do that. But all you're doing is slowing down your progress. You might as well just jump off the bridge into the living water of Jesus Christ, get excited about doing what he wants you to do, and allow the Holy Spirit to be your comforter, to lead you and guide you into all truth and show you things to come. Will it be rough? Yes. Will it be a challenge? Yes. But I'm telling you, folks, you have already won. He has already planned for you to be victorious in this walk. And so I just encourage you today to continue to study the Word. Join us next week at 10 o'clock on Tuesday for What Does the Word Say? And we appreciate you so much. Keep corresponding with us and let the Spirit reign.